So welcome to the ADSO, the Active Directory Systems Overview session. My name is Nathan Mugley, and I'm a lead program manager in the Active Directory team. And today I've got Sunil from the architect of ADSO up here. And in the front row, we have Matt Rimmer from also the Active Directory product group, who is the author and writer of ADSO. So I know most folks have not, actually nobody has seen the ADSO guide, so this will be the first time introducing folks to it. I was asking Pilar before the session when she expected the doc to get in the hands of the licensees, and she said that probably around, we're targeting the first week of July for folks to get a copy of the doc. So hopefully this is all new information. So first, ADSO, to talk about kind of what's in scope, what's out of scope, to set the expectations. ADSO is really about the protocol relationships that make up the Active Directory system, which is a directory service. So the last session, somebody in the back, I don't know if it was you that mentioned about SAM and LDAP and how they interrelate. This doc and this session should be the one to help answer that question, because it talks about how SAM and LDAP interrelate, the modes of Active Directory, those types of things. So again, how these things interrelate, identity stakeholders and interests, present use cases for the system, et cetera. We're not trying to duplicate content. So a lot of time in ADSO, there'll be places where it'll say, for this data model, go out to this doc, this place, go here. Individual protocol versioning, we don't cover. All of that is, what does joined mean? What does domain joined client mean? All of that is out of scope for ADSO, as is a server-to-server domain model. So my idea with kind of this session, since it's the first time that folks are gonna see this content, is to basically walk through the table of contents. And I'm not trying to take all the content and duplicate it in slide deck form, but rather give you an idea of the kind of the main juicy points in each section and what to get as an expectation for each one of these sections and the type and style of content. So section 2.1 really talks about the system summary, and we're going to introduce some concepts today around the Active Directory system, like, for example, modes. And the Active Directory system overview talks about this concept of providing a directory service. For those familiar with X.500, this document is very conceptually modeled like that approach. We're providing a directory service overview in the use cases and the protocols and the data models that make up that system. So the first concept to introduce for Active Directory system is this idea that we have two modes, ADDS, or the Active Directory Domain Services, and Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. You can think about, when you read ADSO in this presentation, you can think about these three different aspects to consider. There's a mode, which is really a collection of protocols that really provide a use case. There's the protocols themselves, like SAM and LDAP, and certain modes support certain protocols. And then there's this idea of abstract data model. So there was a really good question building in the back, I think, when we had that discussion of SAM versus LDAP, which actually I'll go through later on, that talks about, you say you create a machine account, and with SAM, as an example, or a user, or you create some security principle. What are the requirements that then you can go back and modify or update that data with LDAP, or vice versa? So you'll find in a lot of the protocols of Active Directory, there's some overlap. And where those things overlap is what's covered in ADSO. So modes have versions as well, and those versions kind of they dictate what protocols make up or supported, or which methods within that protocol are supported. We'll talk a lot about this notion of how protocols and abstract data models interrelate, where they share data, what the coherency and the transactional requirements are of that, et cetera. So this idea of modes is a collection of protocols, and then another concept is the concept of version. Each mode can have versions, and the versions can support different protocols. The example in the ADSO overview is basically this idea of, we go through different versions, and one of them is Active Directory Domain Services. With this set of supported protocols, like DSSP, LDAP, LSAD, LSAT, SAMR, which schemas are implemented, and which methods within a given protocol may or may not be supported. In this case, And then in this other version, the main difference here is the really the support of web service. So there's one mode, Active Directory Domain Services, but two versions from the ADSO perspective. And one of the versions, really the main difference, is supporting web services. And that's kind of covered in section 5 about the different versions and which protocols are supported. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but basically to give a concept of what our data model looks like, we refer to objects in ADSO as a directory object. Again, this should be very familiar for anybody working on the X.500 space. A directory tree is a collection of these objects arranged in a hierarchical fashion. And then a directory service is an organization of these objects in trees in a directory service. So Active Directory protocols, each mode supports a set of protocols. They don't always expose the same data model. And I've got some slides later on that talk about which data models are supported. But for example, SAMR exposes a subset of directory objects that, say, the directory service or LDAP provides overall. And I'll show you where those mappings are and point you where the section in the guide that the mappings occur. ADSO also covers in section 2.2 and 2.3 the supported protocols by mode, and by version. The Active Directory system is made up of quite a number of protocols, as I'm sure you're aware and you find. So things like SAMR, LDAP are the ones that we were talking about in the previous session. There's many others like LSAD or LSAT. Both of those provide methods for doing various aspects like name translation, name to SID, SID to name, trust management, those types of things. In case you haven't figured out, there are oftentimes protocols that overlap each other in functionality. There's certain reasons for that, a lot of them historical, and where those things overlap we'll talk about. And then also in 2.3, we have the relevant sections that make up each one of those modes. One of our versions of ADDS and ADLDS, the Lightweight Directory Service, is the inclusion of these web service protocols, and the relevant protocols and standards are in the same section. So ADSO will walk you through which protocols are by mode, by version, and the relevant standards for them. In some cases, pointing you back to ADTS in the case of our LDAP performance statement, and really it'll give you a pointer to the right place to go and find that out, at least for the case of LDAP. And that was section 2 through 5. Protocols can also be arranged in groups. And this is kind of another way to think about these collection of protocols. For example, you've got SAM and you've got LDAP. Well, what's the difference between them? LDAP is a general purpose directory protocol. It's supported in both modes of ADDS and ADLDS. SAM provides, like I said earlier, a narrow set of attributes in a non-hierarchical fashion, and that data is included. The arrangement of that data and how the views are exposed is included in ADSO. So you can also take these protocols and kind of clump them by roles or groups, and then sometimes certain modes of AD, the Active Directory system, supports some protocols and not others. Active Directory Domain Services supports both SAM and LDAP. ADLDS only supports LDAP. The meat, of ADSO is really around this notion of the abstract data models and how they overlap with each other. And that's covered in section 6.1 to 6.1.4. But the system really does not have a data model of its own. There isn't a single data model of the Active Directory in either mode. If you take all the data models of the supported protocols and you kind of union them together, that gives you your abstract data model of the AD or the mode that you're in. So for example, one of the key points in this section talks about where pieces of protocol have shared state with other protocols or other abstract data models. And I included here a reference, or basically a sample, from one of the tables that's in this section that talks about how there's this abstract data model field called server role information, and that's shared with MSSAMR. And basically, it doesn't try to duplicate the content of SAMR, but it provides you a handy reference between the, you know, LSAD, this policy object defined in MSLSAD 3111, has a shared piece of data with SAMR 315512. So basically, if you're doing an implementation that supports both those protocols, this is something that you'd want to be aware of, is where these pieces of data overlap. And there's good reasons to be aware of that, as we talk later on. And a lot of them has to do with these musts that the directory service has to provide around transaction coherency and consistency. So if you switch between protocols, the data, you know, you get a very consistent view of the data. The rules for the sharing of the state is also an ADSO, and that's a very key piece of this documentation. So in this case, I cut and paste some text from the from this section for this very particular data model sharing. And here we say the sharing of state information is bidirectional. So either through this MSSAMR protocol, where you can modify this piece of shared state, or through server role information through LSAD, both pieces can modify that. They both have write. Sometimes you'll find, as you read in any MSADSO, that pieces of data, shared data, are unidirectional. You can update it with one protocol, but you can't with the other, and it only provides a read model of that. So again, a very key point of this whole documentation is how these shared states overlap and what the transactional requirements are. So from the perspective of the Active Directory system overview, I can't, in the collection of protocols in there. So the question is there a master protocol? You know, one protocol to rule them all, right? With Active Directory system overview, because we're providing a directory service, in this particular case, LDAP would be the one that gives you the most reach. Now, just like in X.500, when we provide a directory service, in some ways, we're agnostic to any other component or feature that makes use of our system, like X509 or group policy or any of those types of things that layer on top. And I can't speak for those protocols, what they may need for accessing their specific data. Certainly, from our perspective, LDAP would be the one that gives you the most visibility to everything. And that's true for both Active Directory lightweight directory services and Active Directory domain services.
Actually, if I may add, from the documentation perspective itself, we have tried to keep the mapping to LDAP as far as we can. If there are two protocols that are sharing state amongst themselves and we can't express that mapping in LDAP, then we do it the way the example is shown up here. But for the other protocols that do have a shared state, we try to express that mapping with LDAP's state.
The question is does the concept of like domain mode or forest mode have any bearing on any of the data models represented in this documentation?
Not in this document. I think you'll find those details in the individual technical documents themselves. In this particular systems overview document, we try to keep it at a high level. And the intent here is to show the interaction between the protocols and the sharing of the state itself in the system. And so how individual protocols behave under different modes will be found in the technical documents for those protocols.
So talking about shared data, because it is, again, a core aspect of ADSO, as a general requirement, when one protocol shares state and one of the protocols performs an operation on that shared state, which is specified as atomic in that protocol's technical documentation, other protocols sharing that state must honor the atomicity, is that the right word, of the transaction. And this is the type of stuff that you'll find in section 6.1, these types of rules for what kind of coherence needs to be followed for the sharing of this of the state. So to give it, you can't read this. I don't expect you to. This is not an eyesight test. Pay attention to the color. I think is the only thing to look at. This took me a while to kind of comb through, which is why I included it up here. It's kind of for my own. But basically, somebody asked. This is an example of the subset of attributes that SAM can access. So in ADSO, we talk about there's a section. I don't have it listed here. It's section somewhere 6.1 or 6.11 that talks about SAMR and LDAP and how they interrelate from a shared data model. SAMR and LDAP, in the case of Active Directory Domain Services, share the same data model as represented in the Active Directory Technical Specification, ADTS. However, when you read SAMR in section 3.1.1, there's a subset list of attributes that are accessible compared to LDAP. And what I wanted to express, because I'll use this later on in an example, is this is all the attributes that relate to a user object class. And these attributes came from MS SAMR, section 3.1.1, and I mapped these to the attributes that are supported for all of LDAP. And the main thing to see here is just look at all this white, and the question comes up, you know, is there one master protocol? Well, LDAP can certainly reference a lot of these other attributes pending, you know, the rules in ADTS for how they're updated and synchronized, et cetera, with the system. So really, SAMR only gives you a very narrow subset of the data. So if I had to kind of summarize the section 6, since it's such a key piece, is really after you read it and you kind of get the relationship between the different data models, as an implementer, you should be able to arrive at this idea that, hey, I can have two different implementations. There's probably more, and I'm not trying to, you know, suggest one or the other or provide an exhaustive list of all the possible ways that you can build the system. If you could really arrive at this idea that these two implementation examples I'll talk about in a second are valid, and you know the rules for how, you know, SAMR and LDAP map on top of that, including the other protocols, then really Section 6 achieved its goal. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an example, and it's going to use these concepts of what's in Section 6 to be able to help the implementer, you know, define the rules. So let's say I'm just going to use SAM and LDAP, and the one thing I want to clarify is there's many other protocols. Some of them share state with each other. Some of them shared state with LDAP. Just for the purpose of brevity in this example, I'm going to talk about a simple implementation that implements SAM and LDAP following the guidelines and the transactions in Section 6. Again, for brevity, I'm going to only use a subset of the attributes from each one, not that big list in the last slide. So for example, SAM, I'm picking like SAM account name, object SID, primary group ID, LDAP, I'm using name, object SID, primary group ID, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to show you how these two different views map to each other and how you could build an implementation two different ways. And how MS-ADSO helps you with, you know, provide information to do each one. So I could build an example one, table per protocol view. Table is just generic. It could be a database, it can be whatever. This isn't normative or anything. I'm just talking generically about a table. You could certainly build the system using the directions in ADSO that has a table per protocol view. And that exposes the exact attributes that the protocol allows. So for example, in this case, for SAM, I have a table that has just those attributes that was in the previous one that happened to match to SAMR. I have a SAM account name, object SID, primary group ID, object class, blah, 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 that you saw in the previous one. MS ADSO with AMP, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Then you could build a table for LDAP. Now, MS ADSO Section 6 talks about how these objects are arranged. LDAP provides a hierarchical model of these objects. So I'm going to include in my theoretical implementation some details about the tree. I'm not a developer. I don't know if that's the best way to do it or not. And then I'm going to provide, you know, these not only, you know, user objects, but, you know, things like these containers and I've got all these columns here, and there's more columns for LDAP than SAM. So ADSO would give me the pointers to which attributes I would need per protocol view. That's largely just going to be pointing you to, you know, ADTS or, you know, SAMR in my specific example, and the ones you need for SAM. And the kicker here is that it would tell you the coherency requirements between these, how I would have to keep these in synchronized in the back end. Why would you go with this model? Again, I'm just using it, you know, in theory, that it would be possible, because this section would tell you about, for example, a piece of data here has got to be represented here. And later on in a couple slides, I'll talk about an example of that data being shared. So ADSO says, this is shared, this is shared. Anybody accessing the directory system with SAMR would get this view, and with LDAP, they would get this view. But they have to must stay in synchronized for the pieces of data that they share. I'm not going to go into this topic too much, but there's also a notion of access control that's shared among the protocols. Now, there's certain authentication schemes that are supported per protocol that's covered I think there's some pointers in ADSO, but most of it's covered in the actual protocol documentation itself. But ADSO talks about how, even though you have, you know, SAMR and LDAP, they both have to follow the same access checks when it comes to the unique piece of data. Any questions, comments? How does this differ from directory replication?
This is really expressing how the state is shared amongst protocols. With directory replication, you're talking about how a certain set of data is replicated between different stores. Okay. Over here, we can. It's left to the implementation as to whether they would like to use a single store and manage the coherency requirements, or they choose to keep the store separately and have to maintain. They still have to maintain the coherency requirements, but it's an implementation choice. It's not in the back end. If you choose to maintain the coherency requirements through some kind of replication scheme, that's fine. But as long as the atomic operations in these two individual protocols make their state visible as per the coherence requirements of the sharing here, it's fine. It's an implementation detail.
Another example is I have a single table, and I have everything in there, all the attributes that support my views, and then I map the views by the protocol. So, for example, when LDAP comes in to the single table that has, you know, all the columns and all the rows, I get this hierarchical view that matched the data model as specified, is pointed to an MS-ADSO. And then if I came in with SAM, I would get this flat list, which is referenced in ADSO has a pointer to SAMR about, you know, this data model. One interesting thing, I know you can't read this, but I was trying to be a little clever last night when I built this table, and you'll actually notice that the users are not all in one container. So LDAP would provide a different, different view given, you know, the LDAP access requirements and the searching, et cetera, for, you know, all those familiar with XL500. SAMR, if I was enumerating the users in this model, I would just get this flat list. So besides overlapping shared data, the way that the data is returned as the view is a little bit different between these two. Again, there's actually many other protocols. I'm not going into LSAD, LSAT, DSSP, those types of things. I'm just picking on LDAP and SAMR. And section 7 and 8. I'm actually going to fast forward a little bit because Pilar actually showed some of this, like how to create a user in SAM, how to create it in LDAP. And I want to spend some time on this one, and I'm going to walk you through it, what this is. But it ties in to your question, which is we're going to use an example. We're going to create a user with SAMR, one of the methods there, and then we're going to change that user with LDAP. And using ADSO, I should be able to figure out what, you know, the transaction requirements are at each step of this process. And just for kicks, I'm going to use our example one, which is this two-table model, as a means to kind of express what happens to the system as we go through this. So I didn't have enough space. It's already a busy enough slide to show up here both SAM and LDAP. But here we have three users in our SAM state. I walk through the SAMR creation process to create a user. When I get done, I end up with this new entry in my table for Sunil. He's now added here. And using section 6.11 coherency rules would tell me that after this transaction completes, it must be visible to a user with LDAP. So when they share state and it's bidirectional, at least in this case of some of these attributes. Now in our example, after I created the user in SAM, the rules would say this has to immediately be available for the LDAP view. And then when I go to change the users, if I immediately came in after that transaction complete and tried to change that user with the password, they must be visible. And again, because the shared state is bidirectional, it has to immediately be visible if I came in through SAM. This is like the worst case scenario. Like I've got a table per view, and you have to have some type of synchronization semantics. But again, the section 6 would tell you how these have to keep and synchronize and when they have to be available. And sometimes you don't find it too often. One piece of data may be read-only, where say SAM could update something, but not LDAP. Just for example, ADSO would tell you, and the section 6 would tell you when that situation occurs. Anything you want to add to that? No. Okay. So the last section of the doc is this. This high-level overview of security elements. This is where we get into this notion that across protocols and protocol views, protocols and abstract data models, we have these concepts that the directory system provides, like security descriptors and access control lists, which are used to identify and control access to a given directory object. Most of this section is just pointing to the various protocol rules for how they work for authentication. We talk a little bit in this section about like message transport security, which ones have it, which ones don't, and which modes support it. And that's actually section 8.2. So for example, this is a cut and paste from one of the tables in the section. We talk about the protocol LDAP. It provides transport level protection through SSL, TLS, message level through SASL, and then we provide the references here. So for each one of the protocols that make up one of our modes, we talk about what that protocol supports for transport level and message level security. I think that's it. Record time. Well, hope we have 60 minutes worth of questions. But we certainly have a lot of folks here that can help answer anything that we can for ADSO. Questions, comments? Daryl, we're going to get they're going to get a copy of the document.
I think the question is, are they going to get one today? Right? Is your question, are you going to get one today? Yeah. Well, yeah. As we said in the beginning of the presentation, we expect it to be generally available around the first week of July.
So the question talks about this lightweight mode, Active Directory, lightweight directory services. So I can answer that question two different ways. From the protocol documentation standpoint, like ADSO, how it talks about ADLDS, I can also talk about the product and what its uses are, et cetera, and where it's used. ADLDS from ADSO is... It's another directory service, and the exact protocols that are supported by it are listed in the doc, as well as the versions. We have, for example, two versions listed in the doc, a version of ALDS that supports LDAP and these other protocols, and then another version that supports the same set plus web service. And both of those are in ADSO. Active Directory Lightweight Directory Service is a standalone directory service. It's basically minus the domain model, so minus SAM, minus those types of protocols, is what it provides from a feature perspective. We actually shipped it in Windows Server 2003 R2 as Atom. It's Atom. Yes, it's Atom. Everybody knows it by Atom.
It was renamed in Windows Server 2008 to Active Directory.
Yeah. Marketing folks got a hold of it. Decided to call it ADLDS. So the exact protocols, which are really almost a subset of ADDS that make up Atom, are covered in ADSO. We'll talk about that Wednesday. They were added in 2008 R2, introduced in 2008 R2. Whether they're going to be available in other other releases is I can't answer that right now. I don't know. Yes. So I can't. So the question is: will we see more web service over time? I can't answer that question because I don't know. the main point. It's product strategy, and I'm not sure how we're gonna adapt the system over time, and go down that route or not. I mean, to be very clear, there's very specific opinions about LDAP and web service, and people out there that think legacy versus non-legacy, and so I just don't know yet. We haven't done any future product planning to answer that. Any other questions, comments? No? Yes. Well, so from the perspective of the directory service, thank you. The question is what can't LDAP access, essentially, for either one of the modes? The exact list would be in ADTS in the abstract data model. Which ones? I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but there could be some that are read only. So when you mean access, I don't know if you mean like the default security descriptor list means that nobody can read it, or whether you're talking about can't do an update, those types of things. Certainly when it comes to the wire protocol, and you look at SAMR and LDAP, LDAP is a superset from an ADSO standpoint of SAMR. So, yeah. How do we think about it this way? Like Richard said, SAMR is what we had for NT4. It was a bit of a legacy protocol, even though if you read the Windows client behavior notes, you'll know that a lot of our clients use it. Can you think of anything? I don't want to.
Well, within the scope of Active Directory as a within the scope of the Active Directory as a directory service, I mean, you're looking at the S500 data model directory object, so that is all accessible through LDAP. Now, there are other things that pertain to domain integration and other things outside the scope of a pure directory service that you can access through some protocols like LSAD. For example, LSAD, I believe, provides methods, some trust management methods, and KCC configuration that are not... There's some stuff like that may exist in LSAD or those protocols, but they're not part of the directory service.
If you look at section 311 of ADTS, there's a whole subsection that talks about originating update triggers and all these types of things. So it really depends what your definition of can't access. So, yeah, I'd love to just be able to say yes and no, but I have to go and reread that section probably a couple times.
Part of the access restrictions that on SAMR
So the question is around, besides the data access, scope of SAMR, is there data access like authorization check differences between the two?
Each protocol is responsible for enforcing its own authorization model. These are
authentication or authorization.
Sorry.
Authentication or authorization
both,
model?
Really.
Both,
really. Protocols define how you encapsulate information to use for authentication purposes. LDAP has the LDAP bind request, SAM, PDBATs on top of the RPC and SMB mechanisms. And at the same time, many of these protocol heads are responsible for implementing their own authorization rules. And this is all covered in, this is protocol specific material covered in the individual protocol technical documents.
Okay, but isn't that contrary to this passage or section 8.1? Directory objects are protected by security descriptors, so isn't that a function of my data model as opposed to the protocol?
From an authorization
because
standpoint.
Ultimately it is up to the protocol to interpret that security descriptor and decide how to use that security descriptor in deciding whether or not to grant access to a particular client.
To a specific directory object?
Correct. For example, LDAP has a very fine-grained model where you can say, grant access to a particular attribute or not, and, a client can come back, ask for all the attributes, we'll filter out the ones they don't have permission to see, and return just that list. Other protocols may choose to take a more Boolean approach of you can either see an object or you cannot see an object. Again, the security descriptor is a statement that says, certain users, certain clients have particular rights to particular aspects of the directory object. Whether a protocol chooses how to use that, that's the access check rules of the protocol.
And okay.
There's no need to work around anything. The security descriptor is a piece of data in the data model. Protocols choose how to interpret that. Remember that the protocol server is, ultimately has full access to the entire data store and can access any piece of data it feels like. It's a question of, the implementation of rules, the constraints defined in that protocol's technical document that says how that protocol is expected to use its access.
Any questions, comments? Oh, yeah. Yes? Absolutely. So the question is, in my example, I created a user with SAM and I changed the password with LDAP. Can I have done it any other way? Yes. And MSADSO would tell you about the fact that for the shared set of attributes between LDAP and SAMR, they're bidirectional. And so I'd have to immediately have it available at the time that the transaction's committed, must have it available to the other protocol. Assuming it's hypothetical and not, what would you, why would you do that? Those types of things. If I was designing password change, would I? Well, see, I could punt this one because I'm a program manager, so I'm actually not writing the code. How would I implement it? I would go ask the developer.
It's really a choice. As we said, in SAMR, some of the protocols are here for still there for historical reasons. And so, as Richard had said, if LDAP had come along a lot earlier, probably we'd all be speaking LDAP.
Yeah. Do we support the extended operation to change password, or do we support modifying the password attribute?
Active Directory model is a change or set password operation as an LDAP modify of the Unicode PWD attribute. It doesn't use a separate extended operation for that.
Yeah. So if you can see the 2-point font up here, it would say, I can't even see it, so that's all right. It says Unicode password.
Oh, and now, no, I mean, if you want more details on exactly how, you know, to perform or represent a password change or set through LDAP, that's actually covered in MSADTS.
So the question is what about the LDAP attributes that aren't accessible to SAM? Is there any coherency of transaction semantics for those? Those would be specified in ADSO. I think the answer is no to that one, unless I can think of.
I don't fully understand. I mean, when you create the user by SAM, you know, it's going to affect the state changes in the ADM as documented in MSSAMR. Now, that may involve setting some of the attributes which are not directly accessible by SAM to some default value. Some of those attributes may be left blank. It's really not order dependent in that you can then come along and set those attributes through LDAP. I mean, each is just, you have one underlying set of state, and you know, each is just a view into that state. Some attributes are not visible in certain views and cannot be set through a protocol using the view, but the core data is still, you know, the same.
Answer your
question? Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. I'm thinking up here if there's an example or something we could try to use to cement this. I get your question. And I don't know how to quite answer that. It would probably be contained not in SAMR versus LDAP, but say in ADTS. Like, forget SAMR for a second. It just goes away. I look at, say, the user object class, and ADTS talks about, you know, what's required, what's not required for it, those types of things. That's where you would find the dependencies between something that was required versus not, as far as I can think. I can't think of any other example.
Think of SAMR as almost a projection of what the protocol can see or can manipulate on the object state. So,
no, actually, to be clear, in the Active Directory model,
could repeat the question. If I create a user with SAM, I get a certain set of attributes populated in AD. I create it through LDAP, I get more.
First off, there's no such thing as a blank attribute in the Active Directory data model. An attribute is either set to a non-empty value, or it's not present at all on the object. Now, it's true. Also remember that many attributes in the Active Directory data model are optional. They are may contain as opposed to must contain. So when you create an object through LDAP, you can specify a list of, you know, what an initial list of what attributes and what the values you want set on an object at the time of creation. It's true that when you create the user through SAM, you can't specify anywhere near as complete a list, which just means those attributes will not be set to a value. I mean, that's fine. You should have also, when creating the user through LDAP, you should have chosen not to specify a value for those attributes either.
Actually, I can come up with an example. One is where the object's created, right? Where SAM, when you say SAM create object, where that user object lives in the directory is going to be different than if you create it versus LDAP, because SAM, again, has a single, you know, it's a... If I say, oh, where's my example? No? Oh, yeah. Next one. If I say for the user's container, this is I'm using LDAP, and I say, give me all the users. I'm only going to get Peter and Matt, right? Because I, you know, targeted my search here. If I use SAM and I say, give me all the users in my directory service, I would get, you know, Peter, Matt, and Nate, because SAM exposes a different object hierarchy. And conversely, you know, where you create the object, you know, SAM the basic SAMR crate user, or whatever the wire protocol is called, I don't think it allows you to specify a OU to drop them in. So that would be an example of a difference to maybe illustrate your point. Yes? The question is, does it mean that SAM will always create it in the user's container? That's just the, I believe that's just the default.
This is all covered in the SAM processing rules. It should be in MS-SAMR. I mean, the user's container is the default. I know starting in Windows 2003 version, that can be configured. Actually, it can be configured through LDAP. There's a mechanism to do so. This is covered in the individual protocols technical documents.
Yeah, I'd have to go read SAMR and ADTS to see if it has to. That's just the Windows implementation of that model that we do that. Other questions, comments? No? Cool. All right, well, so we have some time. We'll be up here for a little bit, and you can feel free to ask us questions, comments. We'll be around. Thank you.